Okay. So, I'll just mention CDMA systems here, because the issues are different. Again, you get signal interference, and you want to limit your signal interference ratio. But again, the interference comes from other signals within the cell and adjacent cells as well. And the idea behind this is, again, that the signals can essentially be thought of as using the whole spectrum, hopefully not at the same time, and they're encoded cleverly to minimize interference with each other, but potentially not to completely eliminate the interference. Okay. And so in this case, the signal is transmitted at some power P T, and then there's interference from signals within the cell, and there's also interference then from sort of first harmony within cell interference, and then there's also interference from signals in the adjacent cell. And we characterize the level of interference by which just gives some indication of how efficient the spreading codes are in isolating the signals. Okay. And then G is the gain from sort of, again, cleverly processing the signals.
Sorry. What's the difference between the N before and the N next, because they're two? That's a reuse factor of N is for the what?
Well, you use the, what I'm saying there is, I probably shouldn't even talk about reuse factors. You're using the whole spectrum in each cell now. So it's much different. Each signal essentially uses the whole spectrum. Again, it's done cleverly so that signals more or less don't interfere with each other, but potentially there's some interference.
Okay. No, I mean the end there, the end here and the end up. So I will...
Essentially forget about this one. That's just reuse factor. Here, down here...
The N and the formula there.
What we have is N...
Yeah.
NT. I think, yeah. What we have down below is NT.
Okay.
And that's essentially the number of signals that you have within the cell. So how many signals are you supporting within the cell? And so then M is the number of adjacent cells, and again, each one has the same number of signals supported within it. Okay, so again, what I want to draw out of this is just what factors impact on this signal to interference ratio, not trying to analyze them in any great detail. So what we would like to do is to somehow relate the signal to interference ratio with the number of channels we have within a cell. And you know, intuitively, you can think the more channels, the more likelihood there is the interference. Okay. So we make some quite sweeping assumptions. We assume that power control within the cell is ideal. So the received power level of the signals and the interference signals is the same, and that's within a cell. And then we also just sort of fudge the external interference. We just make it some proportion of the internal interference. Okay. And so if we do that, then all internally all the power is the same, so that just filters out as a factor of NC minus 1, so that's the number of internal interfering channels. And then again externally we just have a ratio of interference, and so that's just some factor lambda. And so using that we can determine the number of channels as a ratio of the as a function of the signal to interference ratio. So how many channels you can support within the cell is dependent on your desired signal to interference ratio, which is the same conclusion we made before, but sort of a much through a much different mechanism. Okay, I'm primarily again mentioning that just for completeness, since it is another way of going about things. But in general, we're not going to assume that's the way we're going about things. Okay, so I've mentioned power control a number of times. And the idea behind power control is to determine how much power to use to transmit a signal. And again, this can vary depending on whether we're talking uplink or downlink. And so there's two issues governing power management decisions. And first of all, as I said before, the received power has to be sufficiently above the signal to interference ratio, the signal to noise ratio to be able to distinguish your communication from the noise. Okay. And as we saw before, the SNR had an impact on loss, so you want to minimize that. Okay. And so the problem is that if you transmit at a fixed level, then the received power is going to vary depending on the distance from the base station. Okay. And also, there are, again, with mobile user, there are all these sort of small scale fading effects as well. Okay, so you want to have enough power to overcome all of that. But having said that, you want to reduce interference and save battery power, so you still want to transmit at the minimum power level you can get away with. Okay. And for CDMA systems, we also want to equalize the received power from the mobile units to the base station, essentially so that one signal doesn't blast all the other ones out of existence, that they're all more or less the same. Okay. So what this means is, in particular, the mobile unit is not going to want to transmit at the same power level no matter what. And so there's two possibilities for power control. The first is open loop power control, which depends solely on the mobile unit with no feedback from the base station. And in this case, the base station is going to emit a pilot signal, which is going to have sort of various functions, but for our purposes, the mobile unit can use it to assess the received power level. And essentially what the mobile unit does is assume that that's related to its distance from the base station. Okay. And so it uses what's called a channel inversion technique, and it sets its transmit power level to be inversely proportional to the received power from the base station. So if it's receiving a strong signal from the base station, essentially what it's deciding is that it's close to the base station, therefore it doesn't need to transmit as strongly for the signal to get there in good shape. If it receives a weak signal from the base station, it assumes that it's far away from the base station, it should be putting more power into its transmission to, again, get a farther distance at the same power level. Okay. And so closed-loop power control sort of refines this process, and the base station can make sort of more in-depth decisions based on a number of metrics, so the mobile unit can inform them as the signal strength, signal-to-noise ratio, the bit error rate, and based on that, both the base station and the mobile unit can adjust their power. And so this is considered to be particularly important in CDMA systems where, again, signals within a cell can interfere with each other. And so if all of the users within the cell are transmitting the same power, you get what's called a near-far problem, where the users close to the base station sort of have a relatively high power level as the signal is received at the base station. And that can interfere with signals of users who are far away, and therefore their signal is arriving at a lower power level. Okay. And so, again, channel inversion can be used to adjust the power levels of the signals from the users. One drawback to this is that if a user is experiencing small scale fading, then they might make the decision to transmit at quite a high power level, which within their own cell is probably not too much of a problem, but it's also going to cause sort of additional interference in adjacent cells. Okay, so again, this is not, it's a non-trivial problem to find the right power level. Okay, so the next topic is traffic engineering, and this is related, again, to the capacity of the system. What we've done so far is we've determined that there are a certain number of channels in any given cell. And what traffic engineering seeks to do is it seeks to relate, well, a number of factors. The number of channels, the acceptable loss, to the number of customers in the, that you can support in the system. And so again, the basic idea here is that any given user is not constantly on the phone. Some obviously more than others, but you can sort of get some idea on average of how much people use the system. And again, then we can relate the concept of loss, use, and the number of channels to determine how many users essentially we can support in the system. Okay. So right now we have a fixed number of channels assigned to any given cell. And again, if we limited the number of customers to the number of channels, then that wouldn't be terribly useful. But, you know, we make the assumption that not everybody is using the resources all the time, and so statistically we can come up with some representation of how often do the users use resources. And this will be based on sort of what's the average duration of a call, and then what's the average number of requests for a call. Okay. And this has been done since, I believe, the early 1900s. And the results that we're going to look at now were originally applied to the wired telephony network. Okay. Now, we're going to apply them now to the cellular systems. What we'll say in general is that it becomes problematic because of mobility. Okay. So the first thing we want to do, again, is to somehow try and characterize the demand on our system. And this is done with a measure called traffic intensity. And any of the master's students who took 509A, you know this all. We're not going to, in this module, 452, we won't derive anything. We're essentially just going to use the results. And traffic intensity is a measure of channel use, or average relative occupancy, and it's expressed in a unit called airlangs. And there's a number of equivalent interpretations of traffic intensity. Okay, so the first one is sort of the classic, which is that it's the average number of calls are requested in a mean call handling time. So if you have a call going on, how many other calls are requested in that time? And so what you can think, what that gives you is the average number of channels that you can keep busy. Okay. And so that's our second definition, is the mean number of simultaneously busy channels. And then if you wanted to actually calculate this intensity, you have to study the actual use of the system, And so it would be the ratio of the busy times of the channel to the observation time. So how much time was the channel kept occupied, or the channels kept occupied relative to what the overall portion of time you were looking at. Okay. So, again, we don't really need to worry about what the mathematics of it is. We're just going to use this result. Again, if you're more mathematically inclined, you can sort of play around with sort of the various interpretations of the traffic intensity. So if we have lambda is the call request, then h is the holding time of successful call, then a is lambda plus h. Again, to the unit of airlines. And so, again, we can interpret A as being a normalized version of this call attempts, being normalized over the duration of a call. And if you think of it that way, one airline in traffic will keep a single channel busy. And this is, again, on average. Okay. And so another way to measure channel busyness is rho will then be a ratio, is the amount of time the system is busy, and then if n is the number of channels, then rho n again gives this proportion of how busy is the system. Okay. So, from our point of view, what we want to get a handle on is what's the relationship between the traffic intensity and the number of channels we need in the system. Okay. So suppose we had 20 calls per minute and the average call duration is 3 minutes, then your traffic intensity is 60 airlines. So you have 60 call attempts during that 3 minute period. Okay. And so how many channels would you want to provide in the system? If you say something like 50, well, you're not even hitting your average then, so it's clear you're going to lose calls. So you could try well over provisioning the system, something like 120 channels, and you won't necessarily lose calls, but it's not an efficient use of the system in the sense that your average utilization is just 50%. If you allocate 60 channels, you have a utilization of 1, but then if there's any fluctuation in the demand, you're going to lose calls again. So you want to, there's some number between 1 and, a billion that you might want to pick. The trade, you're always going to have, since this is sort of statistical, I'm talking about averages, but things actually fluctuate, you're always going to have some chance of loss. And so what you really want to do is to explore the trade-off between the number of channels and the chance of loss given a certain traffic intensity, a certain requirement of the system. Okay. Now typically, again, the traffic used in the system is going to fluctuate throughout the day, over different days, and so typically traffic intensity is going to be determined using some busy period. You observe the traffic patterns over the busiest portion of the day, and then provision for that. Again, even with that, you may not accommodate everything. Okay. So, again, we're exploring this difference between these three concepts, the number of channels we have, the traffic intensity, and our probability of loss. Okay. So, trunking refers to providing a number of channels which is less than the number of users, potential users of the system. And again, that is not unreasonable because not all the users are using the system at the same time. And so, since the users use the system in some non-deterministic, unpredictable way, there's always going to be some probability of blocking, assuming you have less channels than you have users. Even if you only have one less channel than users, there's still some possibility you can block. Now, what we're dealing with is your typical telephone scenario where if you can't get your resources, so if you can't make your connection, then you assume the call is not made. It's a lost system. The user just goes away and tries again. Okay. And so mathematically, this is represented by what's called the Erlang-B formula. Okay. And the Erlang-B formula, again, is going to relate loss, number of channels, and traffic intensity. Okay, so grade of service refers to the acceptable level of blocking within the system. Okay. So here we have the Erlang-B formula. And so we can look at the formula again. You see it relates the three quantities I've been mentioning, so the traffic intensity, the number of channels, and the probability of blocking. And usually these results are available either in tabular form or as graphs. Now, I'm not going to tell you at all where this formula comes from. Again, if you have taken E509 or next year intends to take it, if you're continuing on to the fifth year, then you'll find out there. Okay. And so, it's making a number of sort of assumptions about the setup of the system, which may or may not be that accurate, but we'll assume they are. So, again, the results are either in tabular form, and you'll see that in your problem sets when I post them, or as a plot. And in the following, the plots that we're getting are going to have as their axes the traffic intensity and the loss probability, and then there's going to be, for any fixed number of channels, there's going to be a curve along that plot. Okay. So for any fixed number of channels, there's a fixed relationship between blocking and traffic intensity. Okay. And usually we assume a specific grade of service. So usually the fixed element is the grade of service, because that's related to the level of service you want to provide to your customers. And then you look at either the traffic intensity or the number of channels. So you're exploring the relationship between those two factors given a specific grade of service. So, again, this is a typical plot. The traffic intensity is along the bottom here. And then we have the probability of blocking along the vertical axis here. And one thing to mention, if you are using these plots, this is on a log scale. Okay, so you can see it goes from 0.001 to 0.01 to 0.1 equidistantly. So that's just sort of like the log scale. Just when you're reading values off the plot, be aware of that. Okay, and what we see is, again, for any number of channels, we get a fixed curve relating the traffic intensity to the probability of blocking. Yeah, excuse me. Okay, and so what can be observed is that we can make a couple of observations that sort of have an impact on cellular systems. Okay. And the first observation is that a large capacity system is more efficient than a small capacity system in giving a grade of service. And so, again, you might think about perhaps a supermarket queue, where the supermarket checkouts, where you have a number of queues, and perhaps if a queue is too full, the person just goes away. Okay. Now, you know, there's always one queue still way down at the end that nobody uses, so you could potentially have capacity to serve somebody on that queue, but again, if it's not available just because people don't see it or whatever, then it won't get used, and there's an inefficiency in the system. Okay, now just looking at it related to our airline tables or charts, we're going to look at two different cells. One has 10 channels, two different setups. The first setup, we have two cells with 10 channels each. And in the second setup, we have one big cell with 20 channels. And what we can see is that for a fixed grade of service of 0.002, the two cells can handle a combined traffic intensity of 6.8. That's 3.4 per cell. And for the larger single cell, we can then handle a traffic intensity of 10 with the same grade of service. Again, that's because if you're if you have two cells, one cell could be idle while people are being rejected from the other cell. Okay, and again, just looking at the tables, we have our probability of blocking is 0.002. So that's the green horizontal line. And we have 10 channels in our first instance. And so we see where that intersects with our probability of blocking, and that gives us our traffic intensity, which is 3.4, and then again, two cells, so 6.8 altogether. In the second case, we have 20 channels. And in that case, we get a traffic intensity of 10. Okay. So the flip side of that is that large capacity systems are more sensitive to increases in traffic. So increases in traffic will have a bigger impact on the grade of service for large capacity systems than small. Okay. And so if we continue our example, if we look at our 10-channel cell and grade of service of 0.002, to reduce the grade of service to 0.01 requires a 30% increase in the traffic. So again, here's our second point of 0.01. And we have our 10 channels, and that comes out at a traffic intensity of 4.4 as opposed to 3.4. Now, for our second cell, we have 70 channels. We've increased it a bit. And that means that 51, the traffic intensity for grade service of 0.002 is 51. But to decrease it to 0.01, as we did in the last example, we only have to increase the offered load to 56, which is approximately an 11% increase. Okay, and that's shown here on these slides. Okay. So, again, you've got a bit of a trade-off there. Okay, so that's a few. That's a few basic points that can be made regarding cellular systems, and you might sort of be able to use this for just sort of basic capacity planning for your cellular system. The one factor that makes it less representative is that of mobility. So, again, we've assumed that our traffic starts and ends within one cell. Okay. However, in mobile systems, we have mobility, so the arrivals in the cell relate not only to new calls, but also to the handover calls. Okay. And the completion rate relates not only to finishing off the call, but also to just the call leaving your zone and going into another. Okay. And so that's a significant complicating factor. And again, if people really want to get a good handle on, frequently they'll resort to more realistic simulation models. So we don't have time to finish our final topic, which is increasing capacity. Now, next week, I'm going to have the demonstrator come in, and he will talk to you about the NS2 simulation package that you'll be using for your assignment. And so again, some of you might have heard this all before. But if not, it would be well worth coming in and having and seeing what he has to say and seeing what help he can give you. And so I will wrap up with this final topic in 2 weeks' time. And then I'll also be talking about we'll get off of cellular systems for a little, for just one lecture. And I'll discuss, you know, what could be classed as point-to-point systems, wireless LAN, and broadband access systems, so the 802 family of systems. And we'll take a look at those just for 1 week, and then we'll be back to topics more relevant to cellular systems. Okay, so I will see you guys in 2 weeks' time.